All right, so we're going to be on 1 Peter Lesson 2, Part 2 today. Today is Sunday, May the 26th, for those of you that are listening online. And so I'm just going to kind of review again what we did last week and hopefully wrap up here in the time we have left. And so you have your handout there. The review last week, the theme of 1 Peter is how to live for Christ through sufferings. And number one on your sheet says the trial of your faith. So I'm going to just briefly go through this. So if you wasn't here last week, you should have probably the first half filled in from Cammie. But if you need a blank, let me know. And the trial of your faith in verse 1, or chapter 1 and verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto grace and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I put that down as my theme verse in this book, because the book is all about sufferings. It's all about the trial of our faith. And so I had someone contact me this week, someone that listens online. And yes, there is some people that listen online, and I probably don't do a real good job, probably a little choppy and miss things from here to there. But if you're listening online, I'm glad you're listening. But I did have a question from someone, and they asked me, they said, should they ask the Lord to give them more faith? And I thought, you know, that's a really good question. Should we pray and ask God to give us more faith? And I thought, well, you know, I've heard that it may not be the wisest thing to ask God for more patience, because He might give you a trial to go through to give you more patience. But the same thing fits with our faith. And so, so I'm reminded of a man in the Bible, and it talks about faith or believing. Turn in your, I had you go to 1 Peter, but now hold your finger there and go back to the book of Mark. Okay, Mark chapter 9. And this just popped up in my mind when I was thinking about this question. Mark chapter 9 and verses 23 through 24 is a man that Jesus is dealing with. And this man has a son that has, he's possessed, I believe, or he has a devil. And so he comes and he asks Jesus to help. In verse 23, Jesus said unto him, the Father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thine unbelief. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in that position, but that reminds me of me a lot of times. I'm like, how's my faith? And it's like, I believe, but help me to have more faith. And that's exactly, basically, what this man is saying. Jesus is getting ready to heal his son, and he asked him if he believed. He goes, yeah, I believe, but help me to believe more. And that's exactly, kind of fits the scene here. And we see the same thing back in 1 Peter that we've already read. So let's go back there, 1 Peter again. And around through verses 5 through 8, which we kind of touched on last week, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, through sufferings and trials, basically, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I think that fits right along with that. You know, it's we're dealing with suffering, but we're dealing with suffering to help build our faith here in this passage. So it really comes down to, back to the question that the person asked me, should we pray for faith? How do we get faith? Anybody tell me? How do we get faith?
Faith cometh by hearing.
Okay, so do you have a verse for me?
It's in the Bible. Hearing by the Word of God.
Romans 10:17. I'm going to have somebody... Roger, I'm going to have you look that up and read it for me.
She's quoting it, but that's okay.
I'm from Missouri. But you're right. You hit the right verse.
We'll see if I can find it.
Okay.
10:17?
Yes.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Okay, so our faith, we get faith by hearing the words of God. Okay? And so I have a note in my Bible, because I have a big wide margin Bible and I write notes in it. And my note says in the Bible that truth always produces faith. Now take that for what you will. I'm just giving you little tidbits of what I have. And so I'm going to give you an equation this morning. And I'm not a math person, and I'm not I might do math. Algebra, I'm kind of not out there on. But I'm going to give you an equation for building your faith. Okay? Which fits right along with 1 Peter. So, it starts off with God's knowledge. And what is God's knowledge? Look at the very bottom of your handout. The week before, 2 weeks ago, we talked about verses 1 through 12 is for what? What did I have in quotations?
Saved people.
Last week, we saw in verses 1 through 12. You have that on the bottom of your sheet?
On the front or back?
On the front. Under 1 Peter chapter 1, do you have a statement? Yes, no? You don't?
We do.
Oh, you do?
I think.
And it should say, last week we saw in verses 1 through 12. Do you have that statement anywhere? It's not on there?
It doesn't clarify whether it's a statement, but it doesn't say if it's 1 through 12.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Okay. So last week we saw in verses... What's it say next on your handout? Nothing? Maybe it's just in mine. Okay. So on my handout, okay. 2 weeks ago, we saw that in verses 1 through 12, we saw what to know. Is it on the next page?
It's on the back.
It's on the back. Okay. So sometimes my handout may have more notes on it. So it may not line up exact. So remember I said verses 1 through 12 are what to know. Okay. That is God's knowledge. Okay. Okay. So you have God's knowledge plus applying that. Applying God's knowledge in a given situation is what to do. Remember, it was real simple. I broke down the book kind of in two things. God's knowledge, and then what to know. And then God's knowledge, what to do. Okay, so you've got God's knowledge plus applying that knowledge in a given situation equals more faith. So real simple. You want to grow your faith? Number one, you got to know God's Word. Then you put God's Word in force in your life in a situation correctly, and it will build your faith. Okay? And you're like, well, yeah, everybody knows that, right? But, you know, you'd be surprised. How do you build your faith? You just apply God's Word in your life. Yes.
Well, something that's coming to mind that God's been showing me is when I pray believing that God is going to answer what you're praying for. It may not be in the way we want, but that builds our trust. I'm seeing him move quite a bit.
In your prayers.
By
okay.
praying and believing. And I don't know if believing is the same as faith.
Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him
for
righteousness.
Mm-hmm. You got a verse for that? No. You can find it, right? But no, prayer goes right along with it. But even then, if knowing God's knowledge when you pray, and then, you're asking God maybe for something that you can't do. But the things we do, can do, the things that we're taking from God's word and we're putting it in our life and we're using it, and prayer would definitely be an aspect of that. And so when we take God's word, when we apply it, then we're going to get our faith is going to be built. And that definitely works through prayer also. That's part of the key. So, I'm thinking of the question with this person that asked me, how do we build our faith? Okay, through prayer, but by basically taking God's word and using it. It's kind of like anything that we do. A couple days ago, I was at Gherkin's Rental, and I was filling up the propane for out back for the forklift. And so the guy was a new man, and he started to fill the propane tank up, but he hadn't done a forklift one yet, and it's a little different than a normal propane, like one for your gas grill. And he was having a little trouble, and the boss happened to walk by, and he goes, hey, could you show me one more time how to do this? And he goes, oh, yeah, I haven't showed you basically how to do a forklift propane. It's a little different, and he showed him how to do it. And I sat there, and I thought about, okay, so he didn't have the knowledge he needed. He thought he did, but he didn't. And so what did he do? He just went back to the main man and says, hey, show me how to do this. And that's basically what we're seeing in the Bible. You want to know how to do something? Go back, get the basic instruction, then do it. And then you'll have a good result. The Bible says the same thing back in Proverbs. You want to have wisdom and understanding? Do this with God's word. Apply it, basically. It's just the same formula. And then, only after you apply what God's knowledge is, will you get that result. Okay? So hopefully that's making sense. So how do we grow our faith? By just putting God's knowledge in our life and using it. A lot of times I don't think we use what God gives us. We're like, oh man, I should have done this in that situation. I mean, God's law, God's truth on that matter. What I should have done was this, and I didn't do it. I acted like I didn't have any word from God. If I would have done what God said to have done, everything I would have, my faith would have grown. And yet, you've got to know God's word, and you have to do it. If you don't do it, it's not going to help out. Good intentions don't help, do they? And there's a lot of things I try to have good intentions on. And I still have things, and I think I mentioned this a few weeks back. I have good intentions that I thought 15 years ago that didn't get done. And I'm like, man, if I ever get a chance to fix that, I want to do it. I got the chance to fix it, but the person didn't let me fix it not too long ago. And my wife's not here today, but she never did ask me what that was. And I don't know if I'd have told her or not. I would have. But anyway, it's like, have you ever had things you wish you could do and you go, man, if I get that chance again, I'm going to do it this way. Well, do it that way when you get the chance. So how's our faith grow? By just applying the knowledge in God's word to the situation in our life, and it's going to grow our faith. Our prayer life's right there. When we see God answer our prayers, when we see God pull us through that circumstance in our life because we did what God said to do, it's going to build our faith. It's that simple, okay? So that's the formula. Knowing God's knowledge, then doing it, is going to help our faith. Okay? Now, do you have to pray for it? Probably not. You probably just have to live your life and just when situations arise, go back to the Word of God and see what it says to do in that situation. Do it, and your faith will grow. Okay. So let me keep going because I'll be out of time. And so, so the theme of 1 Peter is how to live your life for Christ through suffering. Let me just read this real quick. Number two, the Christian is to follow Christ in his sufferings. We see that in chapter two. So Sharon, I think you're the only one here that hasn't been here last week. Every chapter in 1 Peter talks about suffering for Christ. Chapter two talks about follow Christ in his sufferings. Chapter three, we are to suffer for righteousness' sake. Chapter four, the Christian is to suffer for the glory of God. So guess what? We're going to suffer some way, somehow. And, you know, Christ suffered, we're going to suffer. Because it's going to perfect us. I don't want to say it perfected Christ because he was already perfected. But yet, it pleased the Father that he suffered. He was the pattern for us. Preachers are to witness of the sufferings of Christ. And the Christian is to suffer in order to perfect us. You can't understand certain things unless you go through them. Okay? And again, I'm one of these monkey see, monkey do type guys. I can't understand something unless I see it. I was probably the kid that they said, don't put the fork in the outlet. And I probably had to go over and do it. Hopefully you're not that way. I did stick my finger in a socket one time. But it only took once. It lit me up, quite frankly, but okay. So the books of Hebrews to Revelation are transitional books. I've talked about that before. Peter's writing to Jew and Gentile in one body. So we're talking about Christians in this book. They are Jews and Gentiles. There are three words scattered throughout this book that you're going to see. You're going to see grace, glory, and the Word of God again. We've already seen that. We'll see that at the end of the chapter. At salvation, let me just read this. Our life has been transformed by the resurrection of Christ Jesus into a lively hope. We've been brought from death to life to an incorruptible inheritance that is undefiled and it will not fade away. It's eternal, reserved in heaven for you. We get an incorruptible body. Do I get an amen for that? Okay, hallelujah. To enjoy an incorruptible inheritance. Hallelujah. To live in an incorruptible place. Hallelujah. Now, why did I read that? Just because I wanted to, because I already read it last week. So why did God give us eternal life? Because he loves us and he wants to have fellowship with us. Okay. So, again, last week we saw in verses 1 through 12 what to know, or the week before, and then we started talking about what to do last week. So, again, number one on your sheet says to gird up your mind. Tighten your belt, so to speak. Strengthen your minds. Get prepared. How do you do that? By studying God's Word. Again, you got to know God's Word. Then you got to be sober. You got to be serious because we need to be vigilant. Because we are going to be fighting against principalities and powers. Against darkness and evil and dark places and all that. And it just seems like this week's been a fight for me on several different levels. And so if you guys look at things in your life, you'll see, you know, I don't know why I'm fighting this thing so bad. You know, I just tried to put a little drip system in for my wife this week, and it was like murder for me to do it. It was murder. I mean, I made about 12 trips to Home Depot. Yeah. On my last trip, I'm finally getting everything I got to have because you got to have all these pieces. And not only do you have to have the pieces, you got to have all the threads on the pieces the right way. Then you got to have the pieces going the right direction. I had some backwards. And then the very last day I went, I'm like, I pulled this box off the shelf and it was about, you know, about normal height for everybody else. Me, it's above my head. And I pulled it off. The part comes off and hits me right on the lip. And I'm bleeding. And I'm like, how bad can this get? Got beat up going to Home Depot trying to fix my wife's flowers. You know, that's just bad. But anyway, it just seems, and that's just a funny thing this week. That's not the rest of it. And you guys probably have the same problem. So it's like, oh, but there's just times when we go through things in our life. But anyway, we need to... Number three says, hope to the end. Put your focus on the finish line. Number four, be obedient children. Number five, be holy. Model yourself after Christ. Is that the last... I think that's the last blank you probably have. So, and then I'm down to number six, and I know your list is not numbered right, correct?
No.
Okay, well, I'm on reverence God. Okay? So... Verse 17, back at 1 Peter, let me just get there. I know I've been kind of a mess today. It says, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So right off the bat, we are to reverence God. You know, and do you ever think about, do you fear God? You know, most religions, they fear their God because they fear if they do something wrong, he whops them on the head like that game at World's Fun. But for a Christian, it's not that way. Now, we may get whopped in the head, but it's not by God doing it on purpose. And so we need to reverence God. I put reverence instead of fear because we need to realize he's our Heavenly Father. And just like our earthly father, he can whoop us if we get out of line. Okay? And not only that, we will give an account up to him now, as well as the judgment seat of Christ. So do you guys ever think about when we stand, when all of you and I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, is that going to be a little fearful? Because he's going to judge us according to how we've served him. Boy, if that don't put some fear in our hearts and our lives... Because, man, that's when the rubber's going to meet the road. We're standing before Christ and giving an account of what we did and why we did it. Wow. So we need to remember that. We need to have a healthy reverence for God. Okay? And I don't think I went to this point last week, did I? Okay. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians here. Your handout should say 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. It says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen, amen. Okay, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So right there, it's talking about standing before Christ, and you know, it kind of calls it the terror of the Lord right there in that passage. But if we're living the life that Christ wants us to have, it's going to be a lot less terror than the Christian that's just lived his life for himself. But we need to have a healthy reverence for the Lord. And so these are things again on this list of what to do. Back in 1 Peter. And then the next one is obey the truth. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 says this. It says, seeing you have purified your souls in what? What's it say there? Obeying the truth. Again, another thing for us to do. Obeying the truth through the Spirit, unfeigned love of the brethren, that you love one another with pure heart fervently. So, the seventh thing on my list here is that we need to obey the truth. Now, we know, where do we find the truth at in the Bible? Anybody else besides Roger? No, I'm picking on Roger here. Where do we find the truth in the Bible? Everywhere, but where does it specifically say what the truth is? I'll give you a hint. It's in the New Testament. It's in the book of John. Chapter 17. Verse 17. There we go. Paul, can you have that?
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Okay, so the word of God is truth. And in this world, you know, I'm finding out things that I was taught as a kid and grew up and all that, and I'm finding out they're not the truth. Have you guys seen any of that lately? Mm-hmm. Things you thought was the truth, but they're not. What can you really count on to be truthful? God's word. That's really about it. Okay? Because everything else, you gotta watch. Okay? So we are to obey the truth. And this is a, oh, you do have a blank. This is a lifelong process. Just not when you accept Christ as your Savior. We are to obey the truth our whole life. So you have a verse in Ephesians 1:13. I'm not going to read that one, but I do want you to go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. I'll have somebody read that for me.
But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered.
Okay, so thank you. So, it talks about obeying, right? We obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Started off with the gospel. We obeyed the gospel. We were saved, but it didn't stop right there. It continues on. It continues on obeying the whole word of God, not just the gospel. So we are to obey the truth. Back in verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Okay? And so I remember a song growing up, and it talked about obey. In fact, it was trust and obey. Does anybody remember that song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way but to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. My mom used to have a plaque of that. I think it was a little mirror, probably above her shelf till somebody broke it one day. I won't say who, but probably has a crack in it right now. But anyway, I never forgot the verse. Trust and obey, because there's no other way. So how do we grow our faith? Trust and obey God's word. It's very simple. And yet, again, people say, well, the Bible didn't tell me what I need to do. Yes, it does. Just read it and do it. Okay?
That's the problem. Most people don't want to do what he tells them to do.
Right.
Until, it's going to be obeyed.
It's like,
keep on working at him until they
obey. It's like Cain in the Old Testament. God says, hey, you didn't bring the right sacrifice. You're mad. Go get the right sacrifice. It'll be okay. But he doesn't do it. He had to do it and he didn't do it. Okay? So we need to obey. He didn't obey, did he? We need to obey God's word. And it never diminishes in time, but especially with our Heavenly Father. And it's going to lead us right to our next point, to love one another. Okay, over and over in the Bible, we see that as a Christian, we are to love one another. What are we supposed to do? Love one another. You know, sometimes that's really hard. Sometimes it's hard to love the people in your own family. Sometimes it's hard to love the people in our church family. You know, I know somebody that has this told me this slogan that says, love Jesus, but I want to slap. I want to love Jesus, but I want to slap people. Boy, that's me sometimes. That's like, really? You did this? I'm like, but you know, even in our own church, there are things I see, and I'm like, I just shake my head at. And I'm like, you know, but then I have other people come to me, and they go, hey, Bob, did you see so-and-so, and blah, blah, blah. And I go, hey, wait a minute, let me just stop you right now. Not everybody's normal like you and me. And they look at me like, well, we know you're not normal, and you just lumped me in with you. And I'm like, but, you know, not everybody thinks like we think. Not everybody's at the spiritual level that we are. And so we look at people and we just shake our head. And I'm like, hey, they'll get it. Give them some time. We were young once at one time too. But we need to love people. We need to overlook people's faults maybe. Because, hey, we all have faults. Correct? So we need to love one another. So that's a good thing to know. It's also a good thing to do on our list. So let me give you a verse for that. Romans 13:8. You can write that down next to love one another. And I have to keep moving. And number 9, put your trust in the Word of God. We see that in verse 23. And it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. So when you're going through a trial or tribulation in your life, having this promise that God's word endures forever is a game saver. It really is. And so put your trust. You want to know something to do on this list? Put your trust in the Word of God. For the Word of the Lord endureth, and you have a blank, forever. That's important for us to know. That would be important for anybody in the church. That's important for anybody in the tribulation to know. Hey, this life is going to disappear. But God's Word will not. Okay? So let's look at verse 23. Verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. So what does that mean? What does it mean by a corruptible seed there? What or who are we talking about?
Adam.
Okay.
Be all over the board.
So Adam's seed is what it's talking about. It's corruptible. Okay. But incorruptible. So what seed is that?
God,
or more specifically, Christ Jesus. So we got the first Adam and the second Adam here. One is the corruptible seed, one is the incorruptible seed, and it links the incorruptible seed to the Word of God, which endureth forever. And then it says, all flesh is as grass. And what does that mean?
It's going to die.
Okay, it's going to die. And then it also likens it to flowers. And my wife's not here. I've been planting flowers for 2 weeks, so she would not like that. But, you know, our life is like grass. Or like flowers, it's going to be here one day, it's gone one day. The book of James says our life is but a vapor, right? So how is that comforting for you all to know that your life is going to get snuffed out pretty quick? Is that a comfort?
If you're
saved. Yeah. If you're saved, or if you're going through a trial.
Yeah, I would like it to go now.
Because we're all kind of, right, the people going through a trial are like, you know what, this life is going to be over. Yeah. But the word of the Lord, the promises he's given me, are eternal. Our sufferings, here's what I'm getting at, our sufferings are temporary too. Thank God for that. You're right. Our sufferings. And again, we think sufferings are bad, but they could be so much worse. Mm-hmm. We could be in a third world country. We could be having people, you know, trying to kill us, chasing us from our homes, like the people in India. Turn over to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, one of my favorite verses. And I will wrap this up so we can get going. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, and I've loved this verse. I mean, it means more to me than the day I first remembered it. And it says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, anything in the Bible, basically, were written for our what? Learning that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Man, that verse just nails stuff down. You've got to know, and you've got to do, and it also gives us hope to get through those situations. Yes, Roger.
Can I add to that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17?
Okay.
For light affliction is but for a moment.
Okay. Yes.
Work before us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Goes right along with that great verse. So our sufferings are temporary also. So remember, when we go through trials and sufferings, God's not doing it to defeat us. Sometimes we may think that. He's not trying to beat us down, or He's not allowing us to go through that. Now, Satan may be the ones putting it out there, but God still has to allow it. It's not, but God allows us to go through these not to defeat us, but to give us a victory. If we do what He says, then we'll have victory in our life. So turn over to Genesis real quick. Genesis chapter 50.
We have to remember that God wants our best. He doesn't want our worst. He's going to put us through where we need to go through to get that best.
Right. He's letting us to go through sufferings and trials, just like you said, because He wants us to go through them in shining colors. He wants us to excel going through that. And He wants us to learn growing through that. He wants our faith to grow going through that. He wants us to succeed. Okay. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 20, is the story of Joseph and his brethren. And let me just read this. And I know you all know the story. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, and who's his father again? Jacob. Right. And they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants of God, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, it is this day, to save much people alive. And so the story with Joseph, they sold him into slavery. They did it for evil, and yet God allowed it for Joseph to be sold into slavery, to go down into Egypt, to be thrown into the pit, to end up in Potiphar's house, to get thrown in jail, prison, and then to come out of it, to be in the palace. And you could preach all through that if you wanted to. But he allowed all that to happen, so Joseph was in the position that he could save his brethren of the famine. And he tells them, guys, you tried to do evil to me. And all of the suffering that I've went through, all the things I've went through, was for a reason for me to come out on this side to be able to basically bless our family and to bless you all. You meant it for evil, but God did all this for good. And so I have another note in my Bible that says, are you a victor or a victim? Do you guys know where I got that from? If you've been here in church very long, you've probably heard somebody say that. But are you a victor or a victim? So what did I do? I heard this guy preach this message and I wrote it down. And that's probably been 10 years ago. Does anybody know who it is?
No, but I remember hearing it.
Remember hearing it? It was Doug Pearson. He preached this. And I thought, that's awesome. I wrote it down. People intend things for other people to be evil, and yet God allows them to go through that trial and circumstance to grow them. So they don't become a victim. They become a victor. That's what God wants us to do when we go through trials and situations. Now, it's not fun going through. I'm sure Joseph wasn't having fun when he was in the prison. I'm sure he wasn't fun when he was in the pit. But yet, God elevated him up and got him through it. So let me look at 1 John 5:4, and then we're going to call it a day. 1 John 5:4 says this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. God wants our faith to grow. And it only grows when, number one, we know His Word and we apply it in our life. He allows us to go through the sufferings and all that, not to be a victim, but to be a victor. Because He wants the best for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I do thank You for Your Word, Lord. And I just pray that the thoughts and the intents that we've seen today, Lord, even though I've kind of mungled my way all the way through it today, Lord, that the truth of Your Word would come out and we would see that You do want us to grow in our faith, our relationship with You. You want us to go through trials and tribulations, not to crash and burn, but to be a victor because we put our faith and our trust in You, and we've obeyed what You've said. So I pray this morning, Lord, that we would not only learn that, but we would apply that, we would remember that, and that we would just love You more and more. So we ask for a good day today. Pray for Pastor Brian as he teaches the main session, and we just ask for Your guidance and direction this week. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Summer shirt.
Don't worry.